Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Y2 Podcast. On this podcast, I look to answer a simple yet powerful question. How can we ask better questions to live a better life? Now, as always, if this is your first episode, let me take a moment and thank you for taking some time to listen. Or if you're a regular listener and subscriber, then as always, welcome back. For those of you joining us for the first time, this podcast is all about exploring how we can ask better questions to live a better life, to help us be happier, healthier, and more successful in all aspects. This podcast is made up of two parts. The first part, today's episode, is where I take this question and break it down into smaller, bite-sized topics where we can start to look at different strategies, tactics, and approaches to help us ask better questions to live a better life. The other part, the second part coming up later this week, is made up of a series of short interviews with a variety of professionals who all share one common bond. Their ability to do their jobs largely depends on their ability to ask good questions. So far, we've heard from qualitative researchers, police officers, this week we have a data scientist, and in future episodes we have high-priced consultants, professional interviewers, personal coaches, and a range of other top professionals, so we can learn how to ask questions like, say, a police detective or a researcher. Now, of course, make sure if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes where we're going to continue to build on these concepts, some of which you're going to hear today. Links, as always, and especially for today's episode, are available on the Y2 Podcast website at projecty2.com. That's Project Y, the number 2.com, where you can check out more resources on this topic and even jump onto our mailing list. As always, I want to take a quick minute to thank the Y2 Podcast official sponsor, YZ. YZ is an easy-to-use online training software that makes it so simple to create and deliver online learning. If you haven't already, I highly recommend jump over to their website at yz.com, that's W-Y-Z-E-D.com, to check out some videos and even get started with your own 14-day free trial. All right, enough of that. Let's get into today's episode. And for today, we're going to go back and pick up on a previous topic we spoke about. But on today's episode and over the next coming weeks, we're going to start to get our hands a little bit dirtier as we learn how we can ask better questions to live a better life. And specifically, we're going to pick up on what I believe are some of the biggest barriers when it comes to being able to ask good questions, and that's cognitive bias. So over today's episode and over the coming weeks, I'm going to approach a range of different cognitive biases to help us learn exactly what they are, how they affect us, and obviously talk about some strategies that we can use to overcome this. So for today, I want to focus on confirmation bias. Now, I'm going to read right from Wikipedia, just so we're all on the same page in terms of we probably all learned a lot about different cognitive biases, and confirmation bias was certainly one to come up. But I want to go back to Wikipedia. Let's go right back to the beginning and make sure that we're all on the same page and obviously fill maybe some gaps in that time has left. So, according to Wikipedia, and I quote, confirmation bias is the tendency to search for, interpret, favor, and recall information in a way that confirms one pre-existing belief or hypothesis. People display this bias when they gather or remember information selectively or when they interpret it in a biased way. The effect is stronger for emotionally charged issues or for deeply entrenched beliefs. End quote. So essentially in synopsis, the confirmation bias is when we want to look for, favor, and recall information that we like and supports our pre-existing beliefs. Very much the opposite of what we need to do as spouses, significant others, bosses, colleagues, friends, families, and everything else in between. Now, I want to use a bit of an example to really talk about why I believe confirmation bias is so damaging, it's so devastating when it comes to being able to take off our blinders of life and be able to ask questions with the ultimate goal of obviously learning and understanding something that we maybe didn't before. And for that, I want to use something that I think is really topical in today's day and age, and that is really looking at the world of politics and the ever-increasing polarization that has come about. This is really for anybody that has been watching the news recently anywhere in the world. Now, interestingly enough, when I was doing some research to really understand this a little bit more, I started looking at some research that had come about a couple years ago. I'll make sure I include, again, all the links on the Y2 podcast website from the show notes. But it was interesting to note that Fox News, which is typically a right-leaning news source, over the last few years has been dominated by viewers who predominantly lean towards, again, that Republican view. And further research is showing a growing polarization towards these sources across the political spectrum. So on the left, it's becoming more polarized, people are going there, and on the right, again, it's going the same way. Now, I want to be clear that this is obviously just a really quick observation. This isn't about U.S. politics, the trend of news media, and in fact, there's literally a whole podcast and genres out there dedicated to that. But it's just a quick example of different people that have those pre-existing beliefs, again, in this case, certain political views, will typically, again, gravitate to the sources that certainly align with that and provide that. And this trend is only ever increasing. Another example, something a little bit more subtle, but something that's probably a little bit more relevant to our day-to-day lives, and we don't even realize it, is really around social media. So some analysis about social media's algorithms is really showing that these algorithms are constantly feeding us content that satiates that confirmation bias, things we like, things we understand and we agree and agree with us, and that confirmation bias is really effectively creating a feedback loop, or as I've heard some people call it, an echo chamber around our pre-existing beliefs. But whether it be TV sources or obviously our social media, the confirmation bias can really rob us of those meaningful conversations, the small one and the big ones, which help to enrich our lives. And like I spoke about last week, we're not in these instances talking necessarily, while they're important, about those easy coffee shop conversations. We're talking about real, sometimes very challenging conversations that really help us to connect and understand in life. And to me, that's really about what good questions are all about. Now, I want to come in on a quick side note here because I did find this interesting, and again, I don't want this to be the Debbie Downer of podcasts, that this confirmation bias isn't actually always a bad thing. For example, some research I found showed that, for example, a more optimistic person will notice and remember many instances of people being nice to them, and this will affirm this belief of himself or herself. Or if somebody's pessimistic, the truth also remains that they'll remember instances of negativity, and this will reaffirm the view of himself or herself. So maybe it does have a place in the world, this confirmation bias, but certainly not in our conversations. So, all right. So this is just a start, and this is a really quick overview of confirmation bias. I believe it's a pretty simple concept to understand. It's really being able to understand it on a much more deeper level, and that's what I'll talk about here in a moment. But I certainly do encourage you to check out more resources and do your own research to dive a little bit deeper. But for those of you on the go and you don't have time, then this is, I think, a good starting place, and this is really what you need to really start to make that change. But from here, I want to talk now about a few strategies that I can recommend and I've come across to try to combat this. And what I want to do as we talk about this is look at the three different aspects, three different areas in which confirmation bias can seep in. That's before our conversation, during our conversation, and after our conversations. So the first thing is, in terms of the preparation aspect, is when you're preparing questions to ask questions, or if you're maybe bringing a bit of an argument to someone, it's really important to actually actively take on the counter argument or counterpoint, and maybe actually even try to debate yourself and use that opportunity to refine your questions beforehand. This active exercise is a really good antidote to confirmation bias, and this is especially true when we look at it amongst groups, where specifically, the exercise here is often referred to as devil's advocate, and we'll talk more about some of these similar strategies later, but using this beforehand is a really, really good idea in terms of actively taking on an opposing viewpoint. And also during a conversation, but maybe more importantly after, as remember that confirmation bias affects us also when we recall information, it helps to have some sort of strategy to record that information and the things that were discussed. Sometimes, and probably what most people do, it can be as something simple as a pad and paper. could be somebody else taking notes, or it could be recording the chat or using apps that record and transcribe these conversations. But as always, especially with the latter ones, make sure you get permission first. And lastly, but maybe most importantly, something that touches on all three stages, and that is simply just to have the knowledge about confirmation bias and start to cultivate an awareness of when it comes into our lives so we can start checking these instances and combating this bias. Something I found really beneficial is to be aware of that subtle feedback effect that is given in your body, and what I really can describe as that physical discomfort or a feeling of frustration. I usually feel it in my stomach. And that is when I know my confirmation bias is activated. Being tuned in and aware of this feeling, I believe, is one of the most powerful tools that you can use to combat cognitive biases by just simply becoming aware of when it's activated. And obviously from there, you can start to make more of a deliberate cognitive choice around how you're approaching that conversation, and maybe sometimes leaning into those awkward or frustrating moments, because again, that's really when your cognitive bias is almost pushing against you to stop or maybe defend yourself or your ego. And lastly, something I've said before, and I promise I'm going to say it again, but it's really about all of these things. It's about practice. And I get this off a few conversations I had beforehand with a few people, that this concept is really nothing new. Most of you have probably learned about confirmation bias at some point. But the problem is that so often, like many things we learn, it goes to the top of the mental bookshelf and it just effectively collects dust because we don't think about it or bring it up very often. So what I want you to do through these exercises is really to bring it off the top of that mental bookshelf, turn it around, dust it off, and make sure it's facing out at eye level, to use it every opportunity to cultivate that awareness of confirmation bias. And then from there, once you have that, again, whether it be your guts or just whatever practice else you learn and you cultivate and you practice, from there, you can then use those strategies we've spoke about. As again, I've said before, and I'll say it again, it's something I truly believe in my life, it's that we fall to the level of our training. We don't rise to the level of our hopes. So it's practice, practice, practice. And with that being said, I'll speak to you soon. Hey everyone, just before I head off, I want to take another quick moment and thank you very much for joining me for today's episode. As always, a big thank you to our sponsor, YZ. Don't forget to check them out for your own free 14-day trial. Remember, if you like this episode and you want to hear more, make sure you subscribe to the Y2 podcast wherever you find your podcasts so you don't miss out on any new episodes as they come out. And don't forget to leave a 5-star review if you haven't already. Really appreciate that. Also, make sure you check out our YouTube page if you want to watch many of these episodes online. And of course, you can jump over to the Y2 Podcast website. That's projecty2.com, projecty2.com, where you can subscribe to our mailing list to get weekly topical articles and resources and a range of additional content not released on the Y2 Podcast, all focused on helping you ask better questions to live a better life. And with that being said, I'll speak to you soon.